You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IDSA 2007, the 45th annual meeting of the Infectious Diseases Society of America. The conference took place in San Diego, California, from October 4th through October 7th, 2007.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of the Body Pro. I'm in San Diego at IDSA 2007, one of the year's HIV conferences. Right now, one of the oral sessions has just finished, and I'm going to ask one of the presenters about their study. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who actually conducted the research. It is these men and women who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Erna Milukojic. I am with Brown University in Miriam Hospital. And I am involved with the SUN study, which is a study to understand the natural history of HIV and AIDS in the era of heart. It's a study that's been going on for 2.5 years, and it's an observational cohort of 682 participants, both men and women, with the aim of collecting a lot of data, both through regular clinical care and then additional testing to answer some particular questions related to the objectives, which are to monitor the long-term complications of HIV and AIDS in this era of therapy. My area of interest and research is with HPV in women, so HPV and HIV co-infection in women, with particular emphasis on the burden of HPV disease in women, both cervical and anal, and to compare the two. And here I presented results from 89 women from baseline in 12 months, both cervical and anal HPV data. And in conclusion, we have a higher burden of disease in the anal area, and we still don't know whether that's going to translate into a clinically significant HPV-related diseases or not, and that's something that I plan on following up. It will be interesting to see if it's going to translate into more cytological abnormalities, just like HPV causes cytological abnormalities in the cervix or not.
Uh-huh. And that's because women haven't been infected with HIV for that many years. So we haven't followed them over 15, 20
correct.
Years.
Correct. So we can find the virus, but the disease that the virus causes can take so many years to develop that it may be that we haven't reached that point yet.
Uh-huh. And I know in your presentation you mentioned that the women had a low number of incidents of anal receptive sex.
Correct.
But the HPV found was not cervically related.
Correct. So there is both cervical and anal HPV. What's interesting is that this data suggests that you do not necessarily need anal receptive sex to acquire HPV infection. I think it's very transmissible and it's quite diverse, both cervical and anal.
Uh-huh. And I know there was a study last year that said that it migrates. That it's
yeah, well, we don't know that yet. That will be something that will be interesting to follow in the near future.
Uh-huh. What should healthcare practitioners be doing in terms of HIV-infected female patients? Should they be doing anal pap smears at this point?
I don't think we know enough at this point to give any sort of such
recommendation.
It is recommended for high-risk HIV-infected, correct, for men. And I think the question is, now that we know that it's not necessarily related to anal sex, how are we going to identify a high risk? And that's something, in this particular cohort, the prevalence is just so high we couldn't find any risk because everybody had it, you know, that it was difficult to identify any risk factors. But I think it will be very interesting. I think this study will be crucial in giving us more information, and just what you said, you know, it will be crucial down the line to follow the cytological abnormalities, to follow the cancer rates, and to see what's going to happen. What is the meaning of this high anal HPV? And is it going to translate into us needing some more or different screening guidelines? I think this is, you know.
So your results also matched. I know there were results from the WIHS cohort.
Yes, yeah.
It's showing the same thing.
Correct, except that they are mostly focused on the cervical area. So this is unique in the sense that we have an ability to compare both cervix and anus and also have some, you know, swab both pap smears and HPV information.
So going forward, what are your plans? Are you doing additional studies? on this cohort?
Yeah, we're going to continue to follow this cohort. Obviously, it's an observational cohort. So we presented some data on abnormal cytology in both areas at the last CROI meeting, and the plan is to continue to follow that and hopefully get some data on both baseline and 12-month cytological abnormalities.
Sure.
Okay, well, great. Thanks very much.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on IDSA 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/IDSA 2007.